Good evening, W1AU, NS2K. Yeah, it sounds like Gordon is not quite out of his prior commitment. He had a dinner or something down a little south of here, and he thought he might not make it to the top of the net tonight.
I do remember him saying that. But I figured I'd stop by anyway. And how are you doing this wonderful day? This is Bill, by the way.
Good evening, Bill, NS2K, Jim. Yeah, not too bad. Not sure that I have a whole lot of subject matter for this evening's net. Well, I'm sure we can come up with something. Hopefully a few other people have a few ideas about what they might want to talk about.
I'm just kind of dragging my feet in case there's some other people here. Yeah, I could listen or talk or both. Sometimes I can do them simultaneously, but not always. I've been just sitting infatuated with the Elcraft software-defined radio. Something probably a bit near and dear to your heart.
The Elcraft I have seen only from a distance. I haven't really looked too close to it, but I hear very, very good things about it.
Well, they've in the past been with their K3s and the K2s and even the K1s, you know, quite famous for relatively small, simple, easy to put together radios that have really nice receiver performance and adequate transmitter performance. But the new thing they came out with is really an 817 size package that puts out 10 watts and can be plugged into a desk module and pushed up to 100 watts. And it's got all sorts of fancy stuff and whatever else. The usual stuff that you can do with a software-defined radio, but not the usual stuff that you do with something you can stick in a backpack.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, as more DSP power comes available, how much more can be done with how much less power, size, and everything else. It's really in the process of revolutionizing radios in general.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get. Even if I never get one, I really enjoy people that push the envelope for all of us. It's not quite the tour I started out with, or the AC1 I started before that, but it's really quite amazing. You can flip a software switch and it can detect and display Ridian packet transmissions along with CW up to 99 words a minute. It's got a built-in keyer, as everything does, but it has a built-in kind of mini key, built-in batteries, roofing filters. I think there's something about a dishwasher in there, but I don't know the specs on it. W1AU.
Yeah, very good. Well, let's see if anybody else would like to join us here. This is NS2K working, I suppose, as K2BAR, calling the TechNet, sponsored by Bergen Amateur Radio Association, and open to all amateurs. And anyone who might have anything to contribute, might want to listen, or might have something to toss in as a result of somebody else's question or comment or whatever, is very, very welcome. But in the meantime, let me see if there's anybody with emergency traffic, see if there's anything out there. Please come now. Okay, nothing heard. Let's look for other W calls. Of course, I hear W1AU. Do I hear any other W's?
W2JEK done, none of the above.
Okay, got that done. Anybody else?
W2CH, Ray, none of the above.
Okay, I hear WCH, there was another station behind him?
Yes, WE Tabor, Charlie.
Okay, Charlie, did you have any question or comment?
No, I'm sorry, no questions or comments.
Thank you. Okay, next.
This is K2ZO, hold you.
Okay, Jim, I'm sure you'll have something to toss in the bin here at some point, but I understand you're mobile. Next.
W2JEK, I do have a comment, over.
Okay, got that done, thank you. Any more W's? Okay, how about, let's go for N's.
N2RBJ, Jim, no comments now.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Next. I know N2OEL is out of town here today, but, okay, any A's? Okay, I'll put in AJ4WD because she's behind me here. Okay, any other A's? Okay, let's, I'll shoot for all the K's here. I'll stick my neck way out. Anybody with a K?
KC2NKU, Marilyn, MARYLYN. No questions, no comments.
Okay, thank you, Marilyn.
This is K9GTM. Name Sean. No questions, no comments.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Next.
KC2WRK, Danny. No questions, no comments.
Okay, thank you. Next one.
This is KC2GMA, Marco. I have a comment, some information.
Okay, thank you, Marco. Okay, any more K's?
KO2OK. No questions or comments.
Thank you, Bennett. Anybody else we missed here? Okay, we have a fairly good start here. JEK, Don, I have you down as having a something to say?
Okay, Jim. K2BR and the net W2J. If you have a license and a copy of it, and also some form of ID like a driver's license or a passport with a photo on it, or if you don't have a photo ID, two forms of non-photo ID, and the test fee is going to be $15 because it has been for quite a few years now. Well, that's my announcement, and I'll send it back to Net Control.
Okay, Don, the top of that somehow got garbled. This is, for tomorrow night at the Westwood High School, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a roger. Tomorrow night, Friday night, 7 p.m., over.
Very good, Don. Thank you very much. Well, good. Hopefully the march continues on here, new and upgraded hams. Let's see, Marco, KC2ZMA, you had some questions or a comment.
K2BAR, this is KC2ZMA. Yeah, just some information, just a comment I might share with the group. I've been studying Morse code for a while, and I found this nifty pretty way of learning. I know you know that the W1AW transmits its Morse code bulletins every day or so, and I figured out a way to look up on the website where you could get it through Echolink. If you have Echolink on your computer, or I have it on my iPhone, I have it hooked up on my iPhone to Echolink. And I, if you just look at the node, the W18W, Bravo Delta Charlie Tango, BDCT, and you log in at a times where it broadcasts the, you know, Morse code transmissions, and you could get that over your, I guess, your iPhone, or even through your computer or so. Instead of using a radio, so it would be more portable, you could use headphones or anything like that, you know, through an iPhone. I think Android also has Echolink, I believe, and you could probably, most likely, you could probably use it through there. And I just thought I might share that with the group. I just found that out this week, if anybody knows about that. It's pretty nifty. It actually mutes you out when you log in. It mutes you. You can't really talk to anybody, so you go and listen to what they're broadcasting through Echolink. I just thought that I might share that with the group. I'll give it back to Ned. This is KC2ZMA.
Oh, thank you, Marco. The Echolink node, what, W1AW and IBDCT, was it? What was the suffix?
Yeah, that's correct. It's W1AW, Whiskey 1 Alpha Whiskey, BDCT, Bravo Delta Charlie Tango. So it's W1AW, Bravo Delta Charlie Tango.
Ah, very good. Hey, lots of times people can do that at other points in their day when they don't have a radio necessarily available with HF capability. So yeah, it's pretty useful. Very good. Thank you very much. Anyway, we also had an ongoing conversation with Bill W1AU about the Elecraft SDR, which is the newer one, as compared to the older ones, as opposed to some of the other brands. A few of us have some other ones, but Bill, do you want to continue that comment?
Sure. I can probably talk about this all day long, but I can also just sit here and salivate at it, but. It's kind of an interesting little radio, just because of the fact that it's a software-defined radio, but it has a front panel. If for no other reason, that's really, I think, kind of cool. And that you could put it into a jacket pocket and still operate with it without connecting any power onto it. So, for me, that's kind of fascinating. As time goes by, we'll find out a little bit more about it. And, they had it out of Dayton. I've heard it on the air a couple of times, and a number of people have played with it on the air, but, you know, there are only three units made in the pre-production run, so it's a tad bit early for getting a checkbook out.
Yeah, it really sounds like the ultimate QRP rig at this point, something with an extraordinary receiver. At least a medium amount of power and extremely small and otherwise really competent radio, then I suppose the antenna might have to be a little bigger. But, you know, that's okay. Does anybody else have any more comment want to toss in the ring here? This is NS2K is K2BAR.
It's K2ZO.
Go right ahead.
And K2BAR, K2ZO. I jumped in early there because I didn't hear you announce you were looking for W's at the time. I had just turned the radio on, just leaving my daughters and heading up Route 17. I had a conversation with someone who was using a J-pole. And as you know, the J-pole is a half-wave antenna, but it is N-fed. At a high impedance, so you've got a matching section there. And I was thinking of, you know, with a beam that is a vertically polarized for FM, why not make a three-element beam? And instead of having the problem of feeding it in the center and running the coax down and the interaction and interference of all that, why not make a three-element vertically polarized beam with the driven element, a J-pole? Since it's a half-wave element, if you put a director in front of it and a reflector behind it, it should work. I think that's going to be a very interesting experiment. What do you think? This is K2ZO.
Any comments?
W1AU.
W1AU, go ahead.
I think that's a fascinating concept. I've been in love with J-poles for quite a while. Basically, after having all my nice little ground planes have their various component parts disappear and blow away in the winter wind, I just decided to put something up that would be massive and not disturb anything, and that ended up being a whole bunch of copper tubing from the Home Depot in the form of a J-pole. But since then, I've gone on to stainless steel, even more rugged. But that sounds like something that can be very doable. You could model it on a small scale with doing it at 450 or 2 meters, or go all the way up and put it at 10 meters or even bigger. W1AU.
UJK.
Ed Don?
I think in construction-wise, if you could, they wanted to do it, I'm thinking of the possibility of putting the reflector and the director as the only rotating elements, and have like a thrust bearing on the vertical section of the driven element. Oh, actually, your rotor would just be turning the two reflector and director around the stationary driven element. That way, you wouldn't have any wear and tear on the matching section.
Also, very good idea. You could have a whole thing pivot around the driven element, which doesn't have to rotate at all, making the whole electrical, you could run hard lines straight into it if you wanted to, I suppose. But my question is, how would you, the director and reflector, how, there are all kinds of possibilities how those could be constructed. They could be, dipole, they could be another J-pole section, and I suppose if it were, do you have to build the whole thing? Anyway, any ideas, Jim?
Okay, well, I was thinking of it more as a portable type antenna. Think about a J-pole made with, the type of ones we've seen made with 300 ohm line, and think of a reflector or a director as merely a piece of wire. Now, how are you going to keep it all together? You know, you could hang it all from one, take a rod, a plastic or fiberglass rod, and hang the three elements from it. And then hang that from somewhere in the center where you can point it somewhere. Or take a piece of polyethylene and sew all the three elements to it, roll it up, and then whenever you want it, you could unroll it and point it whatever direction you wanted it to go. Hey, that'd be pretty neat. But I'm just thinking, you know, there are a lot of people with a J-pole that need a little additional gain. And, of course, it is kind of difficult to keep the thing fixed and in alignment, but it certainly would be an interesting concept. Much easier than feeding a dipole at the center and dropping the wire down where it interferes with the lower element and all the rest of the stuff. But that'd be an interesting thing to try, even with just a simple J-pole, if you put the director and reflector and just made some measurements. Go ahead.
Yeah, I suppose you could have the two other elements supported by, say, conductive structure mass of some sort. I'm sorry, a boom, and then maybe a fiberglass bar across the top to maintain the distance and spacing, and to keep it from wobbling quite so much. I'm sure we can come up with a whole lot more ideas as well.
if you were going to fix it up, if you were in an apartment and wanted a direction, directivity, you could merely use a tape that, you know, tape that they use for windows and alarms, and just make yourself a beam and tape it to the window.
Yeah, even more cool. The trick is to find some of that tape, I suppose. Have to...
Yeah,
big piece of glass. Yeah, I'm sure we have a friend in the security business who might have some of that tape left over.
W1AU.
Radio Shack, but because there have been people making verticals out of that stuff and sticking them on windows for quite a while. That's not that unique to me, the idea.
W1AU, go ahead.
I hate to put a wet blanket on the ID or the window tape, but the tape is basically a lead-ish foil, and it's designed to break easily. I think you'd be better off just with strips of copper or you know, even brass or something or other that could be silver-plated. But using an alarm foil would probably not be very good, particularly if you had any power to it.
Very good point. Yeah, well, you can certainly get adhesive-backed copper or aluminum tape intended more for shielding kind of purposes that would certainly be able to handle way more mechanical stress as well as current. Ooh, quiet. Okay, any more comments on this one?
W2JEK, if you had a casement window, you could have it sort of directional. We'll be able to move the direction.
Another variation on a theme. Very good. Yeah, that's one thing you could do. You could, at certainly higher frequencies, you could make essentially a large circuit board. You know, out of a piece of glass or plastic or whatever, and basically put the foil on the surface, and that way you can maintain the relationship between the elements. But at that point, you could feed it from the center bottom, so that it's not. It seems like a more advantageous place to support something rather than on one end. With that, you know, you've got twice as much area. Cantilevered out from an end support, an end support point. So structurally, that could be interesting too. Any more comment?
Yeah, another one. Think of what a bobtail curtain is. It's like a letter E pointing down, quarter wave, three quarter wave sections, and with a half wave between each one, I believe it is, or a quarter wave at least between each one. The middle section is the one that's fed, and that one could be fed with the matching section because that's a high impedance point. So, that would work. You should stretch it out like a bobtail curtain.
Very good possibilities. So, Donnie, you're going to go buy one of those little itty-bitty baby aircraft when they become more widely available?
I don't think so. I mean, I understand they're going to start around $800, but by the time you get done with the battery holder and the antenna tuner and a few of the other bells and whistles on it, you're going to be well over $1,000. I mean, if it's at least that money and maybe more depending on how much the things actually going to cost. And I have some small stuff that's good for portable, nothing as fancy as that, of course. They do have some fine stuff out there. The KX one is that's the KX3, I believe you guys are talking about. It just came out of Dayton, but they have the KX1, which is available now. And that's got like two or three bands or four bands on some of them, depending on the options you get. And Yeah, that even that's getting a little pricey for a small radio. But of course, if you're paying for the portable factor involved with it. But no, I don't think I'm going to run out and buy one right now. I know I often thought, well, I got 817, but they even that gets expensive. And one thing they do say about this one, though, the KX3 is better on batteries than the 817. Back in that W2KK.
KA2BAR. Any more comments? Well, I suppose. Yeah, you're really paying for getting a high performance receiver in a very small package that is, of course, also very versatile. Lots of modes and I suppose I haven't obviously heard the thing yet, but it could very well have an excellent noise blanker and other noise and excellent filtering, so on. That far beyond what you'd get in a conventional radio, certainly of that size. So the performance versus battery consumption versus size and weight and everything else is set to take a new step up. Now I suppose you could combine another lighter transmitter with a very lightweight receiver like the one that that Jim was loaned to Tony here the other day. Of course, that has some interesting possibilities. Need more computer to drive the thing with, but it makes a pretty amazing little package.
If you go on the QRPARCI, it's www.qrparci.com or .org, I forget which. They did have one of the fellows from Elecraft actually doing a video there demonstrating that radio, giving a talk about it. The video lasted for about 5 minutes or so, so it's quite interesting. Back to that, W2JK.
Very, very good. Okay, any more comments on this little lovely? Something more to look at. Gonna have to hold back here. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, but I believe this will all be entirely software upgradable. At least most of the other true SDRs.
Affirmative. That's one of the beauties of it. The prototypes they have already been upgraded a bunch of times. Little things like key clicks and things like that were annoying to people. There's all sorts of interesting things that you can do with that. One of the things that really enthuses me is the fact that they've thought it out carefully, which the A17 really has not, and I say that because I'm talking on an 817. Instead of the edge of the unit being where the controls are, it's the top of the unit, so you have a large surface area. And they also built in a wide-range auto-tuner, which is, I mean, let's face it, if you're on the trail with these things, you're going to chuck a piece of wire someplace or use a buddy pole, and it's awful nice to have a tuner built in instead of having to drag along an LDG or something like that. KQBAR W1AU.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I suppose they're not trying to imitate the look of a mobile radio where you're kind of forced to put the user interface on the front. They obviously have thought about this in a little bit more open sort of way. Anyway, very, very cool. I like the idea, and I suspect when they do go into production, if they can really fulfill the promise that they've made, they'll sell a whole bunch of these things.
I think so.
comment?
Go over to him.
K2BAIJ4WD. I had a friend that worked at UPS, and one of the things that he did on his vacations was to climb to tops of mountains. And he's done that on the islands. He's done that in some remote locations. And he's always used that QRP rig with the batteries. And I even remember seeing one photograph where he had a donkey or an ass with a backpack on its back, which was carrying the batteries and the radio. And his antenna was in one of those tubes that you carry your fly fishing pole in, and that's how Pete built his portable antenna. It was in the five pass of like a fishing pole, so that it was able to be assembled and extended, and worked quite well for him. Back to net.
Thank you, Rachel. Well, I suppose you could go through, I've seen a friend of mine who unfortunately passed away a number of years ago, used to make wonderful fly fishing rods that each segment it was set up so that you could, when you disassembled it, fit it inside a standard briefcase. He lived and worked in the city, and his dream was to be able to walk down to the river at lunch and do a little bit of fishing. Anyway, wonderful craftsman. He made, in some cases, he made his own German silver ferrules and, you know, all of the bits and pieces. One of them that I saw, he had glued up his own bamboo. I think he usually used graphite or fiberglass or, you know, whatever, other more appropriate materials. Or more modern, I shouldn't say, more modern materials. But he made some really classic designs as well. But hey, you come along, you have the silver connectors for the rod. You could put a wire up through the center of it. And anyway, it's a fishing pole 1 minute and an antenna the next minute. Anyway. But lots of possibilities too, and you could actually, I suppose, use the tube itself as part of the antenna, or the support structure, which could be part of the counterpoise for the antenna. Anyway, all kinds of possibilities. You could wrap, you could wrap some of that conductive tape around and make a. Anyway, loading coil. Anyway, lots of possibilities. Got to think about that. Anyway, other comments. This is KQBAR.
Into RBJ.
Go for it.
Oh, thank you. Into RBJ. Name here is Jim. I just had a comment. I'm about to launch myself out into the Jamboree on the Air land, away from my regular QTH. And I was just wondering if anybody had any experience with issues running rope up. And wire antennas and stuff. We're going to be at Rifle Camp Park, and I didn't know if county parks were going to be a little bit nervous about using trees to run wire antennas. I'd like to run a D5RV Junior, and you know, we're using Dacron rope, and you know, try not to hurt the tree in any way. But I was just wondering if anybody else had experience with county parks and launching antennas into RBJ.
Anybody?
We were putting them up in it's a county park. We were at that last portable operation we had. I think the only problem with that with operation was it was so many of us that we should have called in advance for a permit. But if you have a permit, maybe that'll solve your problems. Having a large number of people over.
Okay, well, yeah, we have a permit camp there. We're a Boy Scout troop, and that's going to be our primary activity. The rifle team people have been pretty good to us in the past, so this is the first time I'm going to try to launch a radio station. I have a small telescoping vertical with a screwdriver tap as a backup in case I can't run that. But I'd really like to get some good HF contacts out there for the boys. They've already worked FM, they've worked simplex, and even VHF weak signal, and I was really hoping to get some 20 and 40 meter action to get them a little bit more interested. And then maybe I can send them to Gordon in W2TTT's one-day technician licensing class and get these guys on the roll.
Yeah, very, very good idea. Yeah, I don't think that they would give you any grief as long as you haven't, obviously abused or otherwise damaged the trees, go over branches or whatever. I just recently purchased one of the little lead sacks, little canvas nylon sack full of what I believe is lead shot, weighs about a pound, with some really slick polyethylene rope on it, so you don't get into the whole situation with otherwise classified armaments here in the state of New Jersey. Anyway, don't get me started. But at least there shouldn't be any conflict what might people. Some people might think you ought to have or not. That's obviously, there are a number of people around with various other devices that are of questionable. Anyway, that worked very well, very well indeed. But I don't think as long as you heard anything that it's clearly a very temporary installation. It sounds like a real go for me.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I appreciate the confidence. I'm looking forward to it. But as I said, this is the first time in rifle camp I've set it up. This is the first time in rifle also I've set it up with high power HF. Usually, you mentioned the E17. That's the rig that I use kind of out in the field. Run it off of a gel cell, 5 watts, 4 watts or so. And it's okay, but I think for this jamboree on the air and a couple of pile-ups that are going to happen, I might need a little bit more ohms. So I think the big wire antenna and a 100-watt rig should suffice for it. And to RBJ, and I'll turn it back to the group.
One more comment.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, our club, once upon a time, erected a G5, I think it was a G5 RV or some kind of a dipole antenna on a school building. And one end of it was attached to a light fixture. And the light fixture somehow broke. The bolts on it holding the fixture broke. The light fixture fell, hit a passerby in the foot. Big lawsuit about the thing. Fortunately, our club was insured. And, protected, I guess, by the insurance policy. But be careful of what you're hooking up to. Also, be careful of power lines. Definitely stay away from that kind of stuff. But if you got a whim that's a little questionable, try it out some way that you make sure it isn't going to break on you. Having a limb, cause a limb to break and fall on somebody. I guess that would be the most dangerous thing that could happen, but you never know about that stuff, especially dealing with trees. I presume you are insured if you're part of the scouts there. With that back to net, W2JK.
Yeah, it sounds like insurance is an important feature, and I would like to think that the scouts would have a policy that would cover that sort of thing. But the other thing, of course, you're running up to the trees. You probably want to use an insulated wire. Who is it? Wireman has some hard polyethylene jacketed copper weld that is really amazing stuff, in that it's very, very slippery, and it would it would slide through the branches without any difficulty whatsoever, and still has a good hard insulation that's not going to wear too quickly. Anyway, seemed like a real good product for that kind of antenna. And of course you can get it in some lighter gauges that's not too heavy. Anyway, oops. What did we have? Oh, a cat attack here. The cat decided he wants to get in the closet and is climbing up on stuff in order to do that. Anyway, back to RBJ. Jim, any more comments?
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess the plan, I've already launched this once, and actually I did this up at Camp Terrell, which is a Boy Scout camp up in the Sullivan County near Kudabackville in the Catskills. And I had one of those, a homemade version of that certain implement of destruction that you mentioned, which I don't worry about too much if it's outside of New Jersey. But it worked quite well. I used two lengths of 3/16 black Dacron, and then I used some nylon Mason's line as a telegraph line. So monofilament went up, then the Mason's line, then the black Dacron. The black Dacron is then attached to a large 4-inch pulley, one of those nylon, solid nylon pulleys you use for a clothesline, and then more of the Dacron lines run through that. Once that's run up, you now have pulleys you can raise and lower the antenna all day long, very, very painlessly. And all you have to do is just a little tying off at the tree trunk, no drilling or no eye hole, you know, eye bolts or anything like that are necessary. So it works out pretty well. The real problem is getting the right two trees that are just the right distance from each other, with no other interference between them. And that can't always be found in parks or out in the woods.
Yeah, and that was another good idea, using the clothesline class of pulley, certainly for a temporary thing, or a lightly loaded. I've got one that's lightly loaded, but for a long time, and of course it was designed to be outdoors, so the UV doesn't break it down too badly. Very distinct strength limits, but as long as you stay within that realm, it's a perfectly wonderful product. And of course, it's where it's all plastic, it's not conductive. It makes a great insulator.
Yeah, that's true. The pulleys I got, I think I got them at Lowe's a while back. They're actually made out of nylon. They actually have a little bit of flexibility. They're excellent at low temperatures too. They don't get brittle. And these things have taken a fair amount of abuse, and they haven't cracked open or anything like that. The only thing is you have to throw a little WD-40 in at the joint just to, you know, keep them moving. But by having the pulleys at both ends, you can do two things. One is you can adjust exactly where, as you know, the G5RV, there's a ladder line that comes down the center. You can adjust about where that's going to be. You have a little bit of play depending on the distance between the trees. So you can optimize that length so that you minimize the feed length line, and can sometimes even feed that directly into your tuner if you've got the radio on the right spot. For most of the time, though, you just have to kind of play it by ear. Find a tree, you know, bring a 30-foot and a 70-foot and a 100-foot line. You don't know which one you're going to need. You know, come prepared, which is, of course, the Boy Scout motto, and then go from there. Into RBJ.
K2ZO, do you have a comment about the WD-40?
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Well, no, I think for that application, I think WD-40 would work okay. It does get sticky. It does polymerize. You don't want to use it on something that, you'd never want to use it to lubricate your fan and your SB220 or something like that, because it will gunk up. But for a lot of other applications, it's okay.
I could see that one coming. No, it's really not intended as a lubricant. It's more of a solvent. But yeah, any more ordinary oil would be better as a longer term thing. In this case, yeah, it's only going to be up for a short time anyway, as long as you flush it out and do it again for the next time. But yeah, it will harden up after a while and act a whole lot more like an adhesive than a lubricant. Anyway, yeah, I suppose part of the trick is you don't know exactly what you're going to do. Use your imagination, and hopefully you have enough bits and pieces you can make something that'll work, and all will be well.
Oh, I think so. One of the better things, though, is that we've set it up so that I can run an extension cord out from one of the bathrooms that has electricity. Not having to deal, as you know, I know I've worked with K2BAR and the VHF contest and stuff, and not having to deal with generators is such a tremendous improvement in your quality of life that any issues you have with antennas and operating and RFI and stuff like that are negligible compared to that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, if you can run on a battery, even if you run on battery and then, when you get done, take it back to wherever you have electricity and charge it back up. Makes a wonderful thing. I know Gordon has borrowed my little 2K Honda a few times, but it's funny. I keep hearing, it makes RF noise. How should I say? We don't hear a whole lot of RF noise out of the thing, so I don't really know how bad it is that way. But the little EU2K is a wonderful little rig. Of course, you have to carry gasoline for the whatever. If you have electricity, forget it. Use the real electricity. But it's a great little toy or backup for almost anything. Anyway, more comments.
Yeah, that EU2K generator also has the ability to charge batteries at the port for 12-volt output.
Yeah, even without a separate charge controller. I'm not sure if you want to charge your really lightweight battery, but if you have something that can absorb some energy, because it's an unregulated, somewhat higher voltage, higher source impedance output, I suspect it was scaled for an automotive-size battery.
Yeah, I think that's what they say. Hey, it puts out 8 amps or something like that. But if you got either bring a charge controller along with it, or you have a large battery, especially somebody with a deep cycle battery, for the amount of the radio pulse, much of pushy running 100 watts, it might be different. But for somebody with a QRP radio, it wouldn't take long to put it enough charge in to keep it going for quite a while.
Yeah, if you can drive a 100 watt radio, you can almost certainly absorb the energy out of that charge port. Now, if you only had the funny little connector, anyway, I suppose you have to be prepared. I don't have that. I'd have to figure out just exactly what I need and make that adapter as well. Anyway, anybody with any more subjects or comments?
K2ZO.
James, go ahead.
Just a comment on the generator. I used the generator today on the air and did not notice any noise from it, but I had an extension cord running outside to the radio. So it works pretty good. Although when I stand near it with a broadcast radio in my hand, I do hear some pulsing. I did get the magnetic dipstick today, so that's pretty good. And I do have that plug for the DC. We should be able to make one. If you want to make one, it's pretty easy to do with a couple of old Jones plugs or something. Back to you.
Yeah. Okay, so that uses Jones plug size or style of... And as far as that's concerned, I think, every once in a while I see it's just a two pin where one is at right angles with the other.
No, that's it, and can easily be duplicated. And moldable epoxy and a couple of pins, you could do all kinds of things.
Exactly. Anyway, even if a standard Jones plug doesn't really work, but yeah, very good. Yeah, the good part is, yeah, haven't needed it, but you never know. Someday you might really need it in the worst way, and then you go, why didn't I do that back when I was thinking about it, you know, a year or two or 3 years ago? Anyway, any more comments? So it sounds like we've worked this one near to death. And unless somebody else has something to come up with here, I'd like to close the net. This is NS2K operating as K2BAR. I'd like to thank the owners of the Chestnut Ridge machine and all of the participants and the normal inhabitants, denizens of this machine, for their patience and cooperation. This is NS2K bidding everyone a great evening.
7-3 into RBJ.
And thank you as well. Very good. Thank you. Have a good evening, NS2K.
KA2NYO Mobile, anyone around?
KA2NRO, W2TTC.
Gordon, you're up late.
I am. So how are you this, rolling alongside the parkway here, because it was all jammed up. Of course, I get just a little way up the service road, and that's when the Garden State Parkway clears up. Isn't it always that way? Isn't it always that way? Oh, well. I might actually get back up on the parkway again. We'll see. It cost me 35 cents to do that, but we'll see. We'll see. I have to figure out the easiest way home. Actually, from here, just might be easier just to drive up through Clifton and be done with it. So anyway, no big deal. So, how are you this fine evening? And I take it you're done with your shift to the hospital and you're on your way home. KC2NYO, W2TTC.
Yeah, right you are. I just got off at 12 on the way home. My commute is less complex than yours. No tolls, hardly any traffic. And I probably, as I continue, I will be moving away from the repeater, so I don't know if the handheld will be able to hold it, but we'll try. So, I'm about a quarter of the way from the hospital now, and it's a quite chilly night.
Yeah, it was, when I went to work today, it was muggy and kind of hot, and now I've got the heat on in my car, my truck. Can't believe I'm doing that.
You too, I just put it on.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said. Your promised marginal signal was in fact a little marginal.
Yeah, I wasn't preparing myself. I just have a t-shirt on. No, and I said, I even went to the beach yesterday.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, well, those September nights, September days, I should say, early September, right after Labor Day, are just the best. If you get good weather, man, it's better than August, because water still is not getting, it doesn't get cool. It continues to warm. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, I'm going to get back on the parkway here. I mean, it's like a 35-cent service road. So, it is what it is. No big deal. I'll get over it. Yeah, they're doing construction. They're repaving parts of the road, and they take out a certain section every night, and they strip it. They grind it and strip it down. They put new pavement down, and it's all ready by morning. They're out of there. I mean, absolutely out of there before the first commuter ever thinks about going through. So, you know, the parkway is very, very good about not tying up commuter traffic. You don't lose a single lane when they are doing normal paving operations, because what they strip one night, they pave the same night.
So what do they do? They work at night. Gotta be the best to do it, yeah. Yeah, I also got in the car and got it on low. First time. But, you know, it's gonna get warm again. Just a little temporary chill in the air. I'm sure September see some very fine month low humidity for the next couple of weeks. 2-2-TTT,
KE2NYO
Mobile.
Actually, statistically, October is wetter. In fact, I've always been amazed how October and even November can be compared to September. Generally, September is a little calmer than October as far as the amount of rainfall. But we'll see what happens this year. I mean, we've had a few interesting rainstorms. We were supposed to have another bit of a soaker today. It did not happen. I got some drips here and there, but the cold front came through. Through here anyway, it did it in such a way that it actually never really caused the thunderstorms they were worried about. They were worried about all that hot, steam stuff from this morning mixing with the cold air behind it and just, you know, give us thunderstorms. But we did not get those, at least in North Jersey or Central Jersey. Did not happen. I spent most of the day down in Middletown, the evening Springfield, which is in Union County, and now I'm heading home to Bergen County, where I spent the morning before I headed down to work. So this is, been a long day. I have to go down one more day tomorrow, too. I can't believe it. 4 days this week down to Middletown. This is a penance for all those times, for all those weeks I didn't have to go down at all.
Yeah, roger, roger.
Okay,
yeah. Well, we also got a couple of showers today. Nothing major. September's supposed to be a bit of a rainy month, though, according to the Farmer's Almanac. We're supposed to get 7.5 inches of rain in this area. That's, New York, New Jersey. So far, we did have one soaker last, Tuesday and Wednesday, a lot of rain. So we'll see what happens the rest of the month. Hey, it looks like you had a long day there, and you're from the morning till now. Yeah, that is long. Wow. Not as bad as, I leave my house at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, and I'm usually home by 12. I fall asleep by 1:30. About 80. So not bad, though. I do like that shift.
Yeah, so you stay up the rest of the night till about 8:30 in the morning, and then sleep all day?
1:30 a.m., I lights out. Like I said, I sleep all night. Yeah, like some people who work the evening shift, they go to bed at 4 a.m., but I don't like to do that. I don't want to wake up at like 11 a.m. or 12 noon. So 1:30, I do fall asleep, and I like it because you can get things done during the day, work in the evening, and sleep at night.
Hey, Gordon, isn't it sort of late for the TechNet?
I didn't make the TechNet tonight. How was the TechNet tonight, Tom?
Didn't make it myself. Jim Zio and James seemed to be running it. I listened a little bit, but it sounded interesting. The new transceivers were getting a lot of hype. Which ones are they? The Jeff won the new HF transceiver.
Were you talking about the oh God, what are they? The Elecraft? The new QRP Elecraft radio they were talking about, or one of the Elecraft radios maybe?
Yeah, the third one in the series is getting a lot of hype because they discovered it's going to be cheaper.
Okay, good. That's good. I wonder why they discovered that. Anyway, this introductions are in order here. KC2NYO, the other station is Tom. He's WA2CA. I want you to say a few words, introduce yourself, let him know where you're from, blah, 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 what you do. You fill me in all, fill me in all things, or him in all things I know already.
I'm just wondering about the TechNet tonight. What's the handle there?
Entered Westchester County.
Yeah, it's starting to break up a little bit. What are you on, the Tappan Zee?
No, I'm at the all way at the other end, southeastern Westchester. It's just across over from the Bronx. I'm on an HD though.
Okay, that's why you're noisy. But you're readable.
You need to get yourself an external antenna someday for that. Maybe even another radio, like a mobile rig.
Yes, I do have a mag mount at home. I used to use it for a mobile rig. Hey, guys, I'm not playing on GTA. Back to the driveway, so let me clear it through this time.
Short. It is 23 past the hour you're home from the Bronx where you got off at midnight from your job and walked out the door. That is truly amazing. No wonder you love this job, the commute. KC2NYO, good hearing you. W2CAI, W2TTT. Go ahead, Peter. All right, go ahead and start, Tom.
Okay, George. Name there is Peter. Okay, I wasn't sure of that until Gordon mentioned it this time. My name is Tom. Tango Oscar Mike. Anyway. Spent another day in a hospital. The cancer's getting worse.
Oh dear. That's just not fun. Not fun at all. What are they going to do to control it?
What am I going to do to control it? I have no intentions of controlling it. I think it's just going to take its course. I'm going to let it and bow out gracefully.
Okay. I guess. I had to run the heat tonight in my truck for the first time.
since, maybe April. amazing. Anyway. I've had a very, very long day. Very, very, very long week. So, we're getting there, but boy, it's been a long, long week. I actually had to get some of my colleagues to do videotaping of a project we're doing so they can do it. We have to edit it down to be like 2 to 3 minutes of a videotape to talk about our project and, you know, put it out there. So, it is what it is. Anyway, I hope that this cancer business is not, you know, really aggressive, Tom. Yeah, you've had it on and off. So you've been talking about it for over a year, so I hope that, you know, you have another year or two or three or whatever, as many as the good Lord was willing to give you.
As much as he wants to share with me. But it's definitely pancreatic. It's spread to my back. It's bothering my bones, my circulation. And I was in Valley Hospital and they were photographing it. It's all over. You know. The guy at the CAT scan was more upset about it than me. He got very upset at my lazy attitude toward it. But they said, they can take care of this. I said, nah. Come on. Don't try getting my hopes up. The party's over, my friend. But, they did a back x-ray of me and found it all over the neighborhood. So, something to look forward to, Gordon. But the hospital is tired of seeing me in the ER for something like this. They're sending me now to a clinic in Hawthorne. So, it's like the clinic in the city, they didn't want me ruining their record. So, I said, great, call me a cab. They called me a cab. And, you know the clinic in New York on 86th Street. What the heck is it? The big, big famous place for cancer. With the encouraging ads on the radio. Where they say, come to us sooner than later. We'll be able to save you, whatever the situation. Nah. When you get there, they look at you, they look at your records, they look at the x-rays and things you've brought, and they say, nah, we ain't even going to try. What clinic is that one? The one in Manhattan. Supposed to be the best in the world. Not with her attitude. They looked at me, they didn't even want to try.
Repeater. Repeater. Timeout. Clear.
WHCAI, WQTTA.
Go ahead, Gordon.
He timed it up for about 10 seconds. Well, you told me two different things. One is you told me the person doing the imaging today said they can do something for you. And the other one is you told me that the hospital in New York told you they wouldn't do anything for you some time ago. So, hope springs eternal. Oh, think about that. Seems that the latest advice you got was a bit more positive. So, if they want to send you to a clinic here in Jersey, maybe they'll be a little more effective. Not everything, not every scintilla of useful knowledge comes from across the river.
Oh, that's true. That's true. The clinic that I went to there was the best in the world, supposedly. And they looked at my x-rays, took additional x-rays. Probably I'm radioactive now. I've had so many x-rays lately. And I just tell them, stop trying to make me glow in the dark.
Sloan Kettering you're trying to think of, Tom?
Yeah, that's the one. Who's this?
This is W2JC.
Aren't you a little too buoyant for 12:30 today?
And there are your calls at all then this evening. Yes, Sloan Kettering has such a good reputation, they didn't want to ruin it on me. So I said, fine, call me a cab. I'm going home. They didn't, they x-rayed me. They just wanted to see how bad it spread. You know, it's life. That's part of life. You know, it's not a round-trip flight, no matter what they claim. It's long Kettering, yeah. I was very upset at them. They didn't want me to ruin their record. It's a hell of a reason not to try.
But you're absolutely right, Tom. That's the way they work. They don't take cases that they don't think will be successful because it'll ruin their record. My mother finished off things in the same place many, many years ago. Pick it up, Gordon. Gordon, I don't know how it came out, but I put my pocket recorder next to the monitor receiver in the other room because I was busy with webinars during the TechNet. So if it came out reasonably well, I'll get you the link. You can listen to what happened. I'll probably listen to it sometime tomorrow. W2TTT from W2JC. Oh, by the way, I'm buoyant at this time of the night, but I'm dead at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I've actually seen that. Yeah, I hear you. Before Peter called in, and then Tom, before I was listening to John Batchelor, and he had someone on from the Naval War College who, was talking about Chinese military strategy and development, and that they don't need to be his theory was they don't need to be successful in the way we're being successful. They just need to be, should we say, successful in a few strategic areas of military affairs in order to have a should we see an undue military balance. It was pretty depressing to listen to, but it was centered around missile technology, in particular cruise missile technology, less ballistic missile. Isn't that interesting? Both sea-based and land-based, anyway. So yes, I would love to hear the TechNet for tonight, since I was not happening. I called my son James. Actually, I texted my son James, who didn't look at his text messages until after 11, and called to apologize. And I called Jim Jackson. I didn't think Jim Joyce was going to make it, but I think I heard by rumor from Tom that Jim Joyce did make it in there. So that must have been interesting. I guess they were talking about that new, is it the KX-3 or something? I forget what they call it, but anyway, the new QRP radio, or some other radio that was supposed to be cheaper than originally thought.
that's the one, KX3, something like that. And all I want is my TR7 to work.
Tell you about the KX3. It's set up so that the radio is, the front panel of the radio is the radio. It's got SDR capabilities, IQ output, and it's set up with a BNC on the side of the radio box instead of the back or the top. And what that implies is you could put the radio, the entire radio, on your backpack strap, either on the sternum strap or even on the shoulder strap of a backpack, and operate the radio while it's strapped to your backpack. WTKC, W2TTT.
It's a neat radio. Digitally, it does a lot. And, you know, if they get their lead out and start manufacturing the kits, I know this area will have at least 5 of them. And, I might just use it to replace my TR7. But, yeah. C'est la guerre. Anyway, Jim Joyce was on. James from ABC, spent a lot of time. I think he was running the net for you, but I might be mistaken. I was just listening to them rattle on about this rig, and it's got a few good disciples. You know, they should just give one to Dave Welsh, make him a sales asset, because he loves the one, and he has the one, raves about it. It's a nice rig. The 3's a nice rig, too. Has a built-in paddle for CW, which is nice. Well, anyway, excuse me, I got another one. Third one, wow. Today's my day to hiccup. Anyway, I'm glad you're almost home. What's to say here? Your son has his driver's license. That's good news. You don't have to chauffeur him around anymore. But, who's that? James?
Yeah, it's James. Speaking of James, trust at the gym, W2JC, W2TTT.
Well, I'm still here. W2TTT, W2CII from W2JC. So nobody gets upset at our IDing. Well, the part I heard, they were talking about some kind of antennas with metal strips stuff. That was right at the beginning when I was putting the microphone over there. I didn't hear the rest of it yet. Gordon, your little expose on the parkway would make a beautiful parkway ad for a radio commercial or something. You said it so eloquently. Anyway, this time of the night is when I do my PC updates. And boy, sometimes they take forever. I had like 12 Microsoft... Oh, we found an... We're fixing updates to do. And I found from experience not to do all of them at once. You do 2 or 3, because one of them will probably fail and you have to start all over again anyway. So I figure we'll be up for another hour or 2 or 3, because I still have a webinar to process after the PC gets available. So I figured I'd jump in here because I remembered or figured that's Tom was talking about Sloan Kettering. Tom, pick it up. I think you're the next on the way around. W2CII and the group from W2JC.
Thank you for your memory, Jim. I, for the life of me, couldn't think of their name. And the hospital in the Bronx, I like a little more than those people. At least say, they'll tell you when you're a goner. You know the one I mean?
Is it Maimonides? Or Montefiore?
I think Montefiore. They let you go gracefully. It's more like the, what's that service in Jersey? They just try to keep you comfortable. But I'm not comfortable. I'm dying. How should I expect to be comfortable then? Anyway, JC, you have a pleasant night working on your computer. And my daughter's computer is giving them such a hard time. My wife, who gave me such a hard time for buying it for her, went out and bought her a new computer. What a deal. So, anyway, come here to JC and W2TTT, WA2CAI. We'll be clearing QRT. Have a good night, guys.
Well, fine, Tom. Only a few blocks from home myself. Jim, were you referring to my eloquence describing how they do paving operations? Or my frustration with my hedgehog getting crushed by some lunatic on the parkway?
What got crushed?
I had one of those hitch hauls that's a little wider than most and is for a mobility device. That's why I bought it. Not so much the mobility device, but so that I have a little more space. It's got a drop-down ramp. I wanted to be able to, like, drag my generator up onto it, you know, not having to lift it up in one spot all at once. So, anyway, I bought it at Harbor Freight for like $180-odd. Assembled it last Saturday, put it on my truck. I had it, showed it off to the guys Saturday at the Barra contest site. Then I, drove it to work on the way, took pictures finally of it. When I got to work, drove home, and some lunatic, you know, literally accelerated from several tenths back in my lane and just plowed into me like I wasn't there, and then ran away like a hit and run. I got most of a license plate, but it didn't matter. They weren't going to go after him, so I have to wait 15 business days before I can get the police report from the Parkway, then I can take that and ask them to pursue the alleged criminal.
That's weird. I don't know. I hear them report hit and runs all the time on the scanner. 15 days, they could be to South America by now with their beat up vehicle or whatever. No, I was referring to your eloquent positive report on the paving, the way they do the paving, which does show some kind of administrative prowess, I guess, anyway. I never made it up to the Barra site. I had good intentions, but Saturday I had four places I was supposed to be, and Sunday I had two, and none of them included overlooking the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Oh, it's a nice spot. It's 1,200 feet in the air. Pretty nice. It's not as high as Bear Mountain. I'm just disappointed that no one is allowed to contest at Bear Mountain. I mean, it's a shame because that's drivable. That would be just kick ass if you could set up a contest station up there for a weekend. But you can't stay up there overnight, so there's no point.
Well, if you could, they'd probably have 16 clubs up there all at once.
No, they would have a permit. It would be one.
No, someone's not telling you the truth there. Because I know a company that leaves a truck up there every once in a while. They provide communications for these walks. In my position in search and rescue, I used to hang around with them and help them. And they never gave me a hard time spending the night up there.
I'll have to look into it. Hello, Tom. Well, we shall see. What did you say, Jim? You guys doubled?
Oh, I just made the wry comment that in that case, the club with the largest treasury would probably get the okay, so it'd be by paying off the commissioner or something.
Oh, is that how that works? Well, anyway, I was having dinner with a friend of mine tonight for work. He's actually from Chicagoland, and in our conversation, he pointed out that five of the last seven governors of the state of Illinois have done prison time.
You gotta have some police to put them.
Jeez.
You know, this whole thing that we're going through right now, him moving to Washington, D.C., he'll probably be the last resident of that state to get a job in D.C.
Are you referring to Governor Christie possibly running for president?
Nah, he's not going to run for president. I'm referring to our current presidential failure. He's not doing too well in that. And he's going to be out soon. Thank God.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. Anyway. All right, good night, Tom. Good night, Jim.
I'm going to go inside.
I'm tired. I need sleep. WTJC in the group. WTTTD. Year 1980.
Say good night to your wife for me. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. You have a good day. And you're taking that as a thing of beauty.
Thank you, Tom. It's very thoughtful of you to say that. W2JC, over to you. W2TTT.
Okay, guys. Well, we'll put you to bed. I'm just starting to wake up. Actually, I'm feeling quite awake at the moment, which means when I do go to bed, I probably won't go to sleep very fast. Anyway, we'll catch you all tomorrow. W2JC clear.
Jim, have a nice night. Britain, have a good night. W2TTT, W2JC, WA2CAI will be clearing QRT. Good night, guys.
KB2JLL Mobile, listening.
KB2JXM.
Hey, finally caught you.
It's about time. I've been shouting you for a week.
I know, I caught you earlier in the week as just putting stuff in the back of my truck when I started it, and then I got on, you know, maybe half a minute later or so, and no response. So I said, oh, well, maybe you went to this, you know, I started hopping frequencies and lost you.
Oh, you kids. I don't know, maybe it was because I didn't hear you. Audio was low, don't forget, you know. Well, how you been? And what's happening?
No, not too bad. Nice and chilly this morning. Uh-huh. Anyway, let's see. Running around like an idiot. Vacation school. Working on machines in Louisiana. Broken right hand with two pins in it. I guess that's the quick summary.
Broken hand? And then what was this about Indiana?
I broke the fifth metacarpal, so there's two pins in that, so my right hand is in a cast. My, it wasn't Indiana, it was Louisiana, as in, you know, Bayou country, except it wasn't in Bayou country. I was on the northern end of it. I had to go, take care of some machines down there, and, people who were servicing it there were having to be problems with them, so I had to go take a look at them, figure out what was up.
Uh-huh. How'd you do your hand?
Running down the stairs, turned the corner too sharp, slammed my hand into the support for the banister, and the main reason I was running down there is because all I heard was, how come whenever I rename these pictures, they disappear? Yeah, I had the pictures that we had taken from the vacation that, you know, I was trying to back up, you know. She was renaming them as I was trying to back them up. So it was like, no, quick, run down, cut the network connection so the backup fails and I don't lose any files and I can start it again. And so, portion was, you know, when one panics or gets angry or whatever you want to call it and runs down the stairs, one should watch what he's doing. And I didn't.
Uh-huh. I did a number to my right hand, too, but this was early summer, this past early summer. I was racing. This was all planned and timed. I had to pick up this relay to fix that 500-watt linear. I had to go to Oakland from work. I even left work early. They had this one relay that is kind of hard to find and expensive. But Oakland, let's see, what was it? Relay Specialties in Oakland, they had it for $15 if I go there and pick it up. Otherwise, it's another $10 to ship. So I figured, well, I can make up the time tomorrow. So I left early and I was, they were just closing up. I didn't make it in time. And this woman, was coming out the door and I asked her if she worked there because the doors are locked, and she says, the doors are locked? I said, yeah. Oh, let me try to help you out there. So she goes back inside and she has this guy open the side door. She let me in and opened the side door, and on my way to the side door, I tripped over some curb and my right hand came smacking down on the cement, and I tripped and I don't know what I did. I think I traumatized something, but it takes a long time for it to heal, whatever it is. It's you know, there's many things in the hand.
Yeah, you could have put a hairline fracture. You could have put a what's referred to as a bone bruise. You could have stretched or torn one of the tendons. Yeah, there's a lot of things. Now, mine's nice and simple. Yep, you look at if you take a bone like you take a leg bone, a chicken leg bone, which looks very similar to a metacarpal. All right. And you get a round joint at the top and a round joint at the bottom. Going about 7 millimeters from the base of the bottom of the bulbous part where, you know, where the joint, if that half of the joint, snap it. Just take it right off. That's what I did.
AF4. KB2JXM. Well, as far as Hurricane Irene, I got a real bad situation at home. I'm talking water up to the basement, to the top. It just missed coming into the main living area by 5 inches. It was worse than the 84 flood. I got a real sloppy mess in the basement, and I lost a lot. I'm watching the water level coming up on the basement windows. It's halfway up. I'm pulling up a ton of wood pellets, you know, trying to find a place to put them. Half my drums, that's all I had time for. My electronic shop, speakers, 18-inch woofers, brand new in a box. lots of transformers, huge ones. Furnace, washer, dryer, hot water heater. Everything went under. I was downstairs pulling up my 18th bag of pellets, and I hear, and I look, and here's this, the window broke, water gushing in like gangbusters from outside throughout the whole window. You know, it's, you don't want to see something like that again, so I had to get out of there.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess next time we get something like this, take like a piece of plywood and put it over the window on the outside, so it'd have to break the wood before it would snap the window. But, again, we've had floods this year that we haven't had in 500 years.
Well, I don't buy that anymore. Everyone keeps telling me down at the church is helping out with, you know, free food, free hot dinners. Tetanus shots. The town's been doing really good with the help, but everyone keeps calling this the 100-year flood, and no, we had this already in 84. Matter of fact, in 84, see, this is why I don't put a piece of wood in front of the window, because in 84, two walls of my foundation caved in. They collapsed with dirt, railings, bushes, grass, you name it. Whatever was outside, it came in. So, I can't do that. It's been rebuilt, you know, ever since, because I had flood insurance at that time. I didn't have it now, but it's a real mess, so I'm still cleaning this thing up. My sump pump broke. I gotta see if I can fix that. I had to borrow my next door neighbor's sump pump, so that was working. It doesn't work as fast as mine, but it was working. And I still have a little water seepage in the basement. I keep sponging it up every day, but it still keeps coming in a little bit, but then at the same time a little bit less every time. The river is down, but the water table in the ground is, it takes a long time for that to get down.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, this being that kind of flood. This is one of those floods that we had so much rain during the summer. We, you know, basically, there was no place for the water to go. The water tables were already high before it hit. And then it hit, and then we get 5 days of rain on top of that. It, you know, it was a perfect storm for flooding. I mean, there's just as soon as we dumped a whole mess of rain on there, you had a couple of days to try to get rid of it, and here we go again, add more. Where's it going to go?
In my basement.
Exactly. That's what you end up with. I mean, this is one of those situations that you don't see all that often. All right? That's why, I mean, this area is of the state of New Jersey. I mean, take a look at what happened to New Hampshire. Was it New Hampshire or Vermont? I forget which one it was. They got, I mean, 150-year-old bridges were wiped out. You know, things that lasted through stuff, you know, since the 1890s. The major floods of the 1920s. Boom, gone.
Yeah. No, I didn't hear anything about it, but I'll take your word for it. KB2JXM. I got a lot of stuff that I lost. Let me start over. I lost a lot of stuff because
with the window being broken and the water level starting to come down, the water is also pouring out of the basement, bringing my stuff outside and down the river, you know? So my yard right now, the side yard is full of stuff that I've been throwing out the basement, throwing out, breaking up console TVs down there that I was going to make stereoscopes out of, I guess about 8 of those. It's hard finding a console TV in the garbage, you know, because that's all I need. All I need is the CRT to work and the Hi-V, and I can do my thing. I don't need anything else. In certain TVs, you do need the video to produce high voltage, but that's, you know, like Curtis Mathis or Admiral. Anyway, it's going to be months before this thing is cleared up and cleaned. I've had three crews already from the church come and help me unload the other three quarters of a ton of pellets out the window. It's something about pellets. When they get wet, you know, they're in a plastic bag, 40-pound bag. They get wet, they start swelling. They start swelling up, and the bag splits. And I had them under the stairs downstairs two skids, you know, one skid on top of another one. And when they start to expand, probably three, on my third layer of stacked pellets was right underneath the stairs. He swelled up so much that it bent the stairs, that one stair, it bent it up on an angle. And I felt that, and I said, holy smokes, these things, you know, when they expand, they're strong.
Yeah, it's what you're doing is you're reconstituting the water out of the dried pellet. The wood's just, you know, going back to what it was. So, yeah, it's a lot of, you know, it's an airbag, you know, basically. You know, airbag's pretty strong, although it doesn't last very long. This is, you know, the same concept, but, you know, it's just, you know, unlike an airbag, which releases itself after a few seconds, this doesn't release.
Nah, it doesn't. And when the past experience from the last flood, early in this year, I think it was, I had 7 inches of water, and I had to throw out a lot of pellets. My son was helping me with this. The pellets that get wet and they expand, took them outside. If the bags didn't split, where I got to go clean up the mess again, and that happened a lot. Then they go outside in the forest. And we're separating, you know, whatever is dry up on top from the wet ones on the bottom. And the wet ones, when they dry, it becomes sawdust, so you just can't use them anymore. That's it. Anyway, I got a real big project, a real big cleanup mess. I have to call the church back again. I got to tell them that I'm going to need a cleaning crew for... you know, cleaning the rafters with bleach, sponges, mops, you know, the walls, the floor too. FEMA is coming after work today. They're going to go inspect the facing cement that's coming off around the house. A lot of that's happening in the back. Also, my cracked floor. I got this huge crack in the basement floor about 18 feet long, and it's in the shape of a Y.
Yikes. Yeah, well, at least FEMA's going to be there to look at it, so it's something.
Well, I don't depend on them anymore, okay, because all the other times that I had to go fill out, oh, that's another thing, yeah, I called them weeks ago, waiting for my application. It never came. And I got another story for you about PSE&G, trying to contact them. You want to laugh? So whenever this FEMA application comes, I got to go fill that out.
And then the church is telling everyone you have to go to this DRC thing. It's in Parsippany. And they help you fill out the forms, or they help you with, you know, whatever else you can put down on the forms. So I can't even do that until I get the application, to which they screwed up on. KB2JXM.
Yeah, it's a government plan. And you expect it to run smoothly and efficiently? KB2JLL for ID. It's a bear. I've already heard about PSCNG. Co-workers who, one co-worker's house got completely flooded out, lost his brand new car, and so I think PSCNG still hasn't been to his house yet for the furnace.
The last crew that came in, they were half from New York and the other half was from Utah. I was surprised. I guess their church is paying for all this. I don't know. I had, matter of fact, in the beginning, these girls, these 20-year-old girls, there was four of them. They're sisters. I mean, you know, not blood relation type of a thing. I mean, they're nuns, sister nuns, you know. 20 years old, all wearing these yellow shirts, and, you know, can we help you out? I said, well, I got a ton of logs from the next door neighbor in my yard, and we need raking here, the lawn needs mowing, and, oh, we can do that. So my next door neighbor let them use his lawnmower. They mowed the front, they didn't do the back. The back's really got to be done now, but I can't do that because of all the stuff I've been throwing out the window. It's on the lawn, you know. So, this is going to be a real mess, trying to resurrect whatever I can. My Simpson 260 meters in the flood, I brought that upstairs, emptied the water out. The needle movement is still working, so there's hope for it. But other meters that were down there, this is going to be a real mess for a long time. So the basement is, I guess, about 90-something percent emptied out now. I got a little more to go, and then I got to start scrubbing this thing and getting rid of the mud on the floor.
Yeah, it's a wreck. All right. Well, at least we know you're reasonably okay. The other thing you were talking about, assistance with stuff like that. Something comes to mind. They had a blurb. They're supposed to have something about it today at the office. The United Way was doing stuff. They got a phone number you can call for a whole bunch of, it's like a centralized number, so that if you need help with different things, they can help you out with it. And one of the things, as I vaguely remember, was trying to get, you know, getting forms and stuff like that. Strangely enough, the number's easy enough to remember. It's 211. That's the number 2 is in pair, 1-1.
Yeah, the church has been talking about that. It's the same number as, I think, FEMA? No, FEMA has their own number. 211 was also something else. I can't remember right now.
Yeah, it's a way where you can get things like, financial assistance, other help, you know, all stuff like that. But I remember them sitting there saying, because one of the taglines in the email they sent out for this meeting that they're going to have today about it is, you know, all you people who got in the floods and you can't get forms, or you need this kind of paperwork, or you need that kind of paperwork, you need assistance with paperwork, you know, call here, you know, drill through the menus to get, you know, to get the assistance. You know, maybe you can get your forms that way.
Well, I already called them again on the phone. They're sending it out. I should get it by today. But I think maybe what you're talking about is this DRC thing. That just might be that.
It could be. Like I said, I didn't have all the details. I mean, because the meeting doesn't happen until today. So, you know, I can only go by what I got flashed to me in an email. So,
It's worth a shot. Couldn't hurt. You know, what's the worst they can say? No.
Well, yeah, they can again, because every time I got a problem and I call FEMA, they always deny me.
Well, I meant the 211 number. You know, what's the worst they can say? No, we can't give you the form?
Well, no, I'm, I can get the form, yeah. I can go all through that crap again and then just to get denied again. So I told them on the phone twice already that, you know, you don't help me out this time, I'm never calling you again. You know, if you don't help me out this time, you may as well just change your name to Federal Emergency Mickey Mouse Association.
Yeah, good point. All right, Gary, let me say 73. I'm at my office. I got to run in, and I'll catch you down the log. All right? I'm lately with the hand, I've been up a little bit later than usual, closer to 7 and on the road than 6:30.
7 and 6:30. Oh, okay. All right. I'm usually on the road about, 6:35, 6:30. Yeah, I guess around there. You still leaving at, what, 5 or 5:30?
Yeah, log off at the office is 5:30, so, you know, a few minutes after there, I'm back on the air at that point. But, it used to be I was getting up at 6:30, but, you know, with the hand, everything's a little bit slower. I'm getting out closer to 7 than 6, yeah, than 6:30.
Okay, all right. I'll catch you then. Take care, and hope your hand gets better. KB2JXM or BQRT?
KB2JLO will be clear. 73.
2TTT and 2EYK.
Thank you.